Take your Bibles, go to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter number 1. We'll read verses 5 through 9 this evening responsively. I'll read verse number 5 and you'll join me on verse number 6. We'll read like that all the way through verse number 9. Joshua chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 5. The Bible says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Let's read verse number 9 together this evening. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord. Sometimes it may seem like a ritual just because it's written in the order of service, but we truly do pause now, Lord, not necessarily in a time of remembrance, but we ask that your hand would be upon the service. As we learned about you this morning in Sunday school, learning about, Lord, all the truths that you have for us, Lord, just from learning about who you are as a person, it never gets old. Lord, many of us have been in church a long time. Some of us have not been in church very often. But yet every time the Word of God is open, I believe that there's something that we can learn, something to be applied to our lives. And I ask this evening as our pastor preaches that you would fill him with your Holy Spirit's power, but that we would yield to it as he preaches and listen, Lord, to the truth that is preached and applying it to our life. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. We live in a world addicted to success and prosperity. Everything that you see these days is in reference to success or prosperity. Everyone has their own definition of what success and prosperity really are, by the way. You add to it our pride and the sinfulness of man, and we now have a society trying to beat each other to the top. They don't care how they get there. And by the way, they don't even know where the top is. They're going down, they're not going up. There are so many variations of success. Say, what do you mean, preacher? You could have academic success, financial success, positional success, marriage success, parenting success, etc., etc. This is why we have a society full of experts. It's rare to find somebody that is successful in multiple areas at the same time. You go to the doctor, you have what you call a family doctor, but most of the time they're sending you off to specialists. Whatever happened to the old general practitioner? He worked on you and then went to the barn and worked on your horse and your pigs. They used the old country doctor. He worked on anything that was breathing, amen? They had a general knowledge of things that few people have today. Few people can succeed in multiple areas at the same time. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Okay, look at the wealthy people of our world today. The athletes, politicians, educated people, you name whatever field, successful business people. And look how many of them have been divorced and how many times. They can succeed at making money or succeed in their field, but they can't succeed in staying with the same person. They're not real good at success in multiple areas at the same time. Look how many athletes get in trouble with the law. They're good at throwing a ball or hitting a ball or killing a pig and blowing it back up and pitching it through some plumbing down at the end of the field, but they can't obey the speed limit and quit beating up on people while they do it. So they're not real good at success in multiple areas. You say, well, they make a lot of money. They're going to spend a lot of money with their lawyers too. God is talking to Joshua here in Joshua chapter 1. Moses is dead. Moses, for 40 years, has led the Jews, and he's now dead. And God comes to Joshua and says, Joshua, you're going to take the reins, and I want you to go in. And as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And as long as you do what I commanded Moses, my command did not change, even though the leadership may. Can I tell you something? When this old man passes off the scene, Grace Baptist Church is to stay true to the Word of God. It's not to veer to the left or to the right. I get sick and tired of churches that change because they change pastors. This book does not change. Let's stay true to the book. Amen. Let's stay true to the commands of God. God is talking to Joshua, and he says, I'm going to use you to lead Israel into the promised land. And he said, I will guarantee success and prosperity. Look at verse number 8 again. He said, "For at the end of the verse, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Look at the last part of verse number 7. Which Moses, my servant, command thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Sounds like God's making them a promise here, doesn't it? He said, look, if you'll do what I tell you, I'll make it to where you prosper. I'll make it to where you have good success. By the way, God even tells them how to get this guaranteed success. But you have to understand something. They've got to do it God's way, not their way. God's way, not their way. God told Joshua that it would take courage and strength to do this. Listen to me very carefully. Success and prosperity is not for the fearful and the weak. I have this in my notes. Success and prosperity is not for the snowflakes. Success and prosperity only comes when we step beyond our comfort zone and do what God says over what we think or know. These college students that have to have de-stressing rooms because President Trump won will not succeed. They may get a degree, but it doesn't mean they're successful or prosperous. Everybody doing all right? I don't care how many student loans the president forgives and we're paying for, God help us. We're paying for something they didn't get, an education. Success and prosperity does not come dropping into your lap. Wealth may come, but not success or prosperity. Money may come, but not success or prosperity. Success and prosperity are going to come by a fight. They're going to come by hard work. I recently counseled a pastor, and he was facing a bit of a battle. He didn't want to fight it. And I said, do you want to keep going or do you want to turn and run? He said, well, I just don't want to have any turmoil. I said, then you're in the wrong work. He said, what do you mean? I said, everything we do in the ministry is turmoil because we're fighting the stinking devil. Every once in a while, he puts a face on it and we know who it is. I said, you better pull the trigger rather than trigger being pulled at you. I said, don't turn tail and run. I said, stand up, fight, lead. And I said, the sheep will follow. They don't know what you know. Just rear back and fire. It'll be all right. Say, you had to tell. By the way, a man many years my senior. And I thought to myself, where did it come that we thought that the work of God was going to be peaceful? Did you know when you twist the devil's whiskers, he's going to get mad? Do you know when you bother the devil, he's going to fight back a little bit? Can I tell you something? The work of God is a battle. It's not going to be tranquil. When everything's going calm and smooth, I start looking around and find out what we're not doing right, because apparently we went the wrong way. I know we're doing right when we're hitting stormy waters, amen? You say, why? Because that means we're hitting the devil straight on. Now, there may be many who live off the success and prosperity of others, but being successful, being prosperous, will take courage and strength. God said in verse number 6, be strong and of good courage. By the way, interesting, good courage. Did you know it takes courage to do bad? Somebody goes to rob a bank, that takes courage. It's not courage for good. One of our men was joking this morning. He said, boy, Martinsburg's such a friendly place. He said, people are giving each other flu shots under the bridges. I thought that was funny. I'm sorry. You know, it takes courage to do wrong, but it takes courage to do good as well. God says, I don't want you using courage for bad. I want you to use courage for good. Now, it will take strength. It will take work. Brother Lester Roloff used to say, you make a living from 9 to 5, you become successful from 5 to 9. God promises or guarantees a level of success and prosperity here in Joshua chapter 1. By the way, God's promises are true to everybody, not just to the people that it was written to. God gave it to us as an example for us. This means this prosperity, this success that he guaranteed Joshua is available to you and to me today. Let me say this first of all, and it's not the first point, but there is no one as successful as God. No one has ever been as successful as God. May I break down something in a term? It's probably not the best. It's not sacrilegious, but do you know what the longest lasting, successful franchise business in the world is? The church. Been going for 2,000 years. I hate breaking it down into a business model, so to speak, but isn't that what a church is? It was started and branched off and started and branched off and started and branched off. And it's to copy the model right there. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Nothing has lasted as long. Oh, there's been imitators out there. There was only one McDonald's, but then Burger King came, and Wendy's and Chick-fil-A and all the others. Those are all a branch off of the first. Just like the Ford Motor Company was the first real auto industry that got into automation. It wasn't the first car. I get it. Mr. Benz in the 1800s developed the first automobile, but it didn't go into mass production until the early 1900s, 1904 or 1902, with Henry Ford. Can't remember which year, but it was one of those 2 years. And he's the one, by the way, do you know who the first two investors were in the Ford Motor Company? The Dodge brothers. After the Ford Motor Company became solvent and successful, they said, can we have our money back? We're going to start one of those. And that's what they did. But many of them copied the success, but the initiator to it, by the way, that's why there's a lot of copies of churches out there, but it's not the true thing. Amen. So how do we get this guaranteed prosperity or this guaranteed success? Let me give you three things very quickly. Number one, right speaking. Right speaking. Look at verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. We need to focus on our talk on truth and the Bible, not our feelings and emotions, as I preached this morning. God said, you want success? Then you're going to have to talk about the Word of God. Folks, let's talk about Jesus, the King of Kings is he. the Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity, the great I am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. By the way, Jesus is the Word of God, isn't he? John chapter 1, verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The more we talk about Jesus, the more we talk about the Word of God, the more success we will have. Guaranteed. Had a family here this morning. They're new to Christianity, real Christianity. Talk to them and talk to them. They've been coming for several weeks. They both looked at me and they said, "Can we just hug you?" I said, "Sure." It was a group hug. Amen. It didn't take both of them to do it, but they said, "We have learned more in 1 month in this church than we have the entire time we've been to all the other churches combined." I was saddened by that, but encouraged at the same time. That kind of statement scares me. That kind of statement saddens me. But at the same time, here we are. Old farm boy came by recently and he said, "Look," he said, we knew your church was there." He said, "Didn't know you were plowing that hard." I said, "Yes, sir, we're just kind of plain meat and taters." He said, "Yeah, but meat and taters is good." I said, "I say that very thing." Can I tell you something? It's exciting when you start talking right. When you come out of this realm of cultural propriety. What happened to preachers that reached back and they used to call them leather lung preachers, man. They'd just rear back and fire. They preached hard. If Billy Sunday were alive today, most of you would be scared to death. That man was wild. If George Whitefield could preach, and his voice could be heard for over a mile, he would preach outdoors to 20 and 30,000 people without a microphone. Now you talk about a dude that had a voice. Wow. The old Billy Sunday tabernacles were built and constructed in such a way he would preach almost like in a sports arena, tabernacle that would seat 4,000 or 5,000 people with no PA. And he would stand in the middle of the crowd. There would be a box in the middle for a platform and people on all four sides of him. And the top of the building was domed in both directions so that the sound would travel equally all the way around the building, and he could preach to 4,000 or 5,000 people at a time without a microphone. And there were days he would preach 4 and 5 times, filling those tabernacles with 5,000 people at a time, and 5,000 more people would come in and leave, and 5,000 more come in and leave. He would preach to 20,000 or 25,000 people in a day that way. He would go into town and companies would ask him to come, and they would shut the plant down and the workers would gather and he would preach, and the bars would dry up in town because he got so many people saved that they started closing the bars down in town. What happened to that in America today? Now you can't even get a preacher to get up and tell you that alcohol's wrong. Wine is mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Found one that's not afraid of it. Look at Psalm 19. Psalm 19. If I'm not careful, I'm going to just ramble here, so I better get back to my notes. Psalm 19, look at verse number 14. Psalm 19, verse number 14. The Bible says this: "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Notice the first part of that. Let the words of my mouth be acceptable. Folks, let me ask you a question. What you say, does it please the Lord? What you talk about, does it please the Lord? Psalm 119, verse 46, you need not turn there. It says, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed." Oh, we'll talk about God in front of political leaders? Yes. Can I tell you something? I am not ashamed to talk about Jesus to anybody I talk to. Well, we shouldn't talk about God at work. Says who? They can talk about all their filth. They can talk about getting drunk and high and their adultery and fornication, but you can't talk about God. Drop dead. I have no problem with it. I really don't. There is nothing as successful as the Word of God. There is nothing as successful as the Word of God. Do you know what book has been, more copies have been sold than all other books in history? The King James Bible. By the way, it's not copyrighted. Say why? The author didn't copyright it. He wanted it copied. So there is nothing as successful as the Word of God. Let me read Psalm 138 to you. Psalm 138, I'll get there in just a second. Hold on. Psalm 138, look at verse number 2. The Bible says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Maybe if we would talk more about the Bible than we would the news, we'd be better off. Maybe if we talked more about the Bible than the virus, we'd be better off. Maybe if we talked about the Bible more than we do TV, we'd be better off. Maybe if we talked about the Bible more than our computer stuff, we'd be better off. Everybody doing all right? There is nothing as successful as God's words. By the way, you say, how do you know that? That's how you got the word or the world. God spoke everything into creation. I guess he did a pretty good job, didn't he? That's how you got the Bible. Maybe then we ought to speak about the Word of God and the principles of the Word of God and find the success that is in the Word of God. We ought to read the Bible, but we ought to talk about it. We ought to hear the Bible taught at Sunday school and at church, but we ought to talk about it. We ought to spread the good news of the gospel, the Word of God, to each and every person we meet. And that means we have to open our mouth and talk to them about it. And we ought to tell everybody about the Word of God everywhere we go. One of our newer families is pretty excited. Man, they've been taking gospel tracts like crazy, passing them out everywhere they go. They even got a hold of one of our local politicians and said, you need to show up at our church. You'd learn something. That's good. They looked at the track and they said, oh, him. I know him. I said, told you it's duck or pucker. Trust me. Can I tell you something? We ought to talk about the Word of God. Number two, God says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That means this, not only should we talk right, but we ought to think right. Right talking also involves right thinking. God said, don't just speak good things, think good things. Is there any doubt this world has a thinking issue? Is there any doubt people don't know how to think? Well, I don't know what bathroom to use. You really have a problem. Go out back, there's a tree. All right. We'll find out what you are. Trust me. God says thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I am not suggesting you go outside to go to the washroom. All right. But God says thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Psalm 1. Turn to Psalm 1 with me. I'm going to learn you in a second here, so hang on. Psalm 1, look at verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in the season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Notice the Word of God and meditation go together. God said in Joshua chapter 1, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And at the end of that verse, that thou mayest prosper and have good success. So prosperity and success come with meditation on the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 44, the Bible says this, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. And God talks about being in Psalm 138, verse number 2, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Guess what? We're supposed to think about the word of God. I'm going to say something. I'm going to help you. I can help you not be depressed and fearful. Quit meditating on the news and meditate on the Bible.
Amen.
I've helped more people in our church by saying, don't listen to the news before you go to bed, then you'll never know. I've heard people say, preacher, since I quit doing that, I feel so much better. No doubt. Why do you want to pack your brain full of a septic tank and then sleep on it? We need to meditate on the word of God. By the way, meditation is not a ritualistic repetition of chants. Oh,
right.
The word meditation is the... You're not going to like this. It is thinking about the application of truth. The word meditate comes from what we would use the term rudiment. It means chewing the cud. A cow will go out and we call it eating grass. They're gathering grass and swallowing it. They chew it just enough to get it down, but they got three other stomachs. Well, it stays in that first stomach, and they, or three stomachs, something like that. How many, Mrs. Barnes? Four stomachs? I thought so. I thought I was right, but they have four stomachs. They gather it in their first stomach, and then they go a little bit later in the day. You see them laying down in the field? When they're laying in the field, you see them chewing. Say, what are they doing? Burp. They burp it up, and they chew it, and they chew it, and they swallow it, and it goes to a different stomach. And they empty stomach one, and by chewing it all back again. And that bringing that back up, they're getting more and more and more of the nutrients out of it. And that's exactly what God says. We're supposed to hear a truth. Then we're to bring it back up and think about it and swallow it again. Thank God I'm not a cow. That's all I can tell you. Meditation is chewing the cud about truth. It is dwelling on the truth, thinking about the truth, and taking that truth to its full application. It's not chanting, everybody's floating around in smoke and all this other weird stuff and chanting all these things and saying the same thing over and over and over and over. Matter of fact, my Bible says don't have vain repetition. Vain repetition is man's way, not God's way. Meditation is thinking on truth. Everybody doing all right? We are to meditate or think on Bible principles and how to use it in every situation. Do you know what most of the counsel I give to other preachers is? How to apply that book right there in the situation they're in. They're facing a situation they've not seen. I had a younger preacher call me just a week or so ago, and he said, I know you've been in the ministry a long time. I faced a situation I need your help with. And I began to tell him, he said, that's where my instincts were taking me. And I said, then follow it. You're going down the right path. He said, sometimes I call you just to get confirmation I'm thinking right. He said, sometimes you tell me I'm not thinking right, and you kick my backside. I said, well, as long as you're using the word of God, you're not going to go wrong. The Bible is a living, breathing word. It lives and applies today. God, it's not a history book to tell us what was. It is a living, applicable book today. I've got to hurry. So, you have right talk, you have right thinking, and lastly, you have right action. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to what? Do according to all that is written therein. Now everybody look at me for a second. You can talk right, you can think right, but if you don't do anything, what good was it?
Amen.
Turn to the book of James chapter 1. James chapter 1. look at verse number 22. James chapter 1, verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Can I tell you something? Everybody look at me for a second. Most churches today are hearers only and not doers. Come bring your notebook and let me impress you with how much I know, and you can learn everything, but don't leave here and go do something with it. Churches who are more prone to instruction as far as making church an extension of Bible college, so to speak, quit soul winning. I'm not going to back the pressure off. I think everybody ought to tell folks about Jesus.
Amen.
Say why? Be doers of the word, not hearers only. I'm not against you taking notes. I'm not against you learning things at church. But if you don't do anything with it, what good was it for you to learn it? God didn't make you to make your head fat with facts. He made it so you would drain your brain through your mouth and help somebody else with it. You truly didn't learn something if you can't use it for somebody else. You want to learn the Bible? Teach it once. You doubt your salvation? Go tell somebody else how to get saved. You won't doubt your salvation anymore. I've trained thousands of people to go soul winning. Only one time have I ever been out soul winning. I led someone to Christ. I walked away from the door, and the person I was training said, Brother Bush, I did not ever do that. We were between visits. I won my soul winning partner to Christ, and we kept knocking doors. They had gone through the gospel so many times with people, they realized they had never, ever done that themselves. They got saved. We kept winning people to the Lord, and I baptized him with some of our converts the next week. No big deal. But how did it come? By doing, not just by learning. God is not interested in how many facts you know about the Bible. He will judge you on how much you did of the Bible.
Amen.
How much of the action and obedience to the word of God you have done, not by how many facts about the Bible that you have. Right thinking and right talking with no action is useless. And it depletes the credibility of the knowledge you do have. Did you know you can know everything there is to know about that book right there, but if you don't do anything with it, what good was it? And the credibility factor is not real good. I'm going to tread lightly here. But may I say something? Sometimes we think because we have sincere action and we have some Bible knowledge that everybody should follow our lead. And there are people that know us that say, it's going to take a while before I trust you. My wife's side of the family, they have all been, most all of them have been saved. But we were the weird ones in the family. There was other family members who had beat them with the gospel a little too hard, maybe. And here come this Bible college graduate marrying off the princess of the family. And the little girl that never did any wrong. And here we are in the ministry. And I had several of her aunts and uncles and others say, well, we'll see. We'll see how long they last. Oh, by the way, I've preached several funerals for the family. I've had family members saved. I've won their children to the Lord through funerals and other ways. I've helped them through their hard times, and now they love me. It took decades. Decades. But now, do you know who they call when they're in trouble? Yep. I didn't change. Oh, we were the ones that were criticized for how we reared our kids. And now they say, how'd you end up doing that? Their kids are a mess. And, well, I have most of my kids turned out right. least I taught him to marry well. Right thinking and right talking with no action depletes the credibility of your knowledge. We have to put right action with our knowledge. Real truth moves people to action. Let me say that again. Real truth will move you to action. It is amazing how many people succeed in their own minds, but they can't do it in real life. Everybody's a millionaire if they could just have the right stuff. If I just had this, I could be a millionaire. Yeah, right. I could be wealthy if I could just do... Yeah, right. Everyone is a multimillionaire and then they wake up in reality. So you have right talk, you have right thinking, and you have right action. Now, God says that right talking, right thinking, and right action equals prosperity and success. But I want you to notice something. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now watch this. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God says you have to have 1 + 1 + 1 to equal prosperity and success. You have to have right talking plus right thinking plus right action. Then you will have prosperity. Then you will have success. What does the word prosperous mean? They're not the same word. The word prosper or prosperous means gain, increase, or progress. Gain, increase, or progress. In other words, it could mean just progressing, growing, or increasing in your ability. The word success means favorable outcome, gain, gain of rank, fame, or achievement. It does not necessarily mean wealth. People think success, they think, oh, lots of money. Money has nothing to do with success. Money has nothing to do with prosperity. Prosperous means you're going to gain, you're going to increase, you're going to progress. Sometimes I'll pray for folks to have a prosperous day, a day of gain, a day of increase, a day of progress at whatever you are doing. God wants us to do that. But I want you to notice something. God doesn't promise you luxuriant wealth. I'm not preaching Joel Osteen prosperity gospel garbage. Anybody that tells you that if you do such and such, God's going to make you wealthy is an antichrist, they're a false prophet, and they are wrong. Did you hear that? I don't care how much money you give to the church. I don't care if it's seed money. I don't care if it's faith money. I don't care if it's prosperity money, investing in God, and he's going to give you back eternal riches. Yes, he will. It's called obeying God with your tithes and offerings. But God never promised you a big bank account. Here's the part of it I really want you to get. The whole sermon really hinges on these next couple statements. God said you'll make your own way prosperous. God said you'll make your own way successful. Look at it again. Look at verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of whose mouth? Okay, you sound like a bunch of Methodists. Depart out of whose mouth? There you go. You're awake now. Thy mouth. But who? Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That who? Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written for therein. For then who? Thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Notice God said, if you do this, and you do this, and you do this, then you will have your way made prosperous. He didn't say he would make your way prosperous. You will make your own prosperity.
Right.
to the degree that you obey God and His word is to the degree that you will prosper. To the degree that you obey God and His word is to the degree that you will have success. Is that not what He said? Okay. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. He didn't say it was on God to give you success. He said, if you'll do these things, by the way, if you remember, God said to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. But remember, don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Do exactly what I told you. Have right talking. Have right thinking. Have right action. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll make your way successful. By the way, God did not say it would be easy. If something is instant success, it's going to be instant failure too. If it's going to be instantaneously prosperous, it's probably going to be instantaneously dry. God said there is a process to go through to get those things. Isn't it amazing? You can ask a college freshman anything in the world and they have the answer to it. You ask a guy fresh out of college and they know exactly what to do. You ask an engineer right out of engineering school and they know how to build a building, but they can't tell you where the ground's at to put it. I was dealing with engineers for this property and they were saying, well, you've got to do... I said, look, have you been to the property? Well, no, I have a piece of paper here. I said, do me a favor. Bring your piece of paper and meet me at 4272 Charlestown Road. They said, what? I said, I'm paying your wages. Get out of here. I had three civil engineers show up and they said, well, you're going to have to... Oh, you can't do that. That's what I've been telling you. Well, that's not what the paper says. I said, I don't give a rip what your paper says. Look at the ground. It's amazing how many people can't think past a piece of paper. Can I tell you something? God says, if you talk right, if you think right, and if you have right action, according to the word of God, then you will make your own way prosperous, and then you will have good success. He said, be strong. Be of good courage. You're going to face a lot of opposition along the way. People are going to go against you. God never promises for you to have a golden touch in life, and everything that you touch turns to gold. Matter of fact, to me, it does the opposite. He says you can prosper and have good success. And I just gave you the formula from God's word how to have it. To the degree of success you have, to the degree of prosperity that you have, is dependent on the degree of obedience to the word of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. We have a world addicted to success, but they're addicted in the wrong way. And we look at success in so many, and I hate using the word perverted ways, but it is. How about we have right speech, right thinking, right action, and then let's obey the word of God as He told us to do so.